Okay, Dr. McGee asked you a question yesterday. Do you remember? Was Balaam a genuine prophet of God, or was he a religious racketeer? What do you think? Well, we're in Numbers chapters 22 through 24 today, where we'll go deeper into the Balaam mystery. What's fascinating is that the same questions that we'll explore with Balaam are also how we should discern the motives of current-day people who say they speak for God. It's a good exercise. And our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will lead us in just a minute. But first, I'm grateful that Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, has stopped by to update us on how things are going with the ministry.
Well, Steve, boy, that's a big question. I love it when you throw me a question like that. But where my heart goes and my mind goes is how important it is for us to have that sense of connection, or I'd even say almost meeting people
right
on the Bible bus. And don't you feel when you're reading the letters like you're meeting these people?
Absolutely. And even when you run into them in the public, I mean,
yes,
at my church, some people that don't realize I'm involved with the ministry and they're listeners of Through the Bible, it's such a joy to connect with them knowing that they're studying the same portion of Scripture that I am.
And don't you find that when people find out that you're associated with the ministry, they are anxious. They can't wait to tell you their J. Vernon McGee story.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
everybody's
I have that
got
all
one.
Of the time. I have it all over the world. People do that, and it's really exciting. So we have some exciting letters and responses today from listeners and from our listener testimony line that we want to share.
Let me read this first one. This is from Kathy in Santa Ana, California. Thank you for your daily reminders to pray for people in other parts of the world. I'm assuming she's on the World Prayer
Yes,
Team.
Yes, something you talk about a lot.
Absolutely. It's too bad that I do need a daily reminder, because nothing is more important than praying that God would touch the lives of all non-believers with the glorious love and forgiveness that He provided when He gave us His Son. Your reminders are to me a gentle nudge from God to partner with you in prayer. Thank you.
Mm. And Steve, part of that sense that we have of meeting people who write to us like this is they're committed to the same things we're committed to.
Right.
You and I are charter members of the World Prayer Team. We love to tell people about it. And it's so exciting when they tell us that they're part of this ministry. We're together in
yeah.
it. Now, here's a letter, and I'm hopefully going to say the name of this town right. Bill from Chillicothe, and I hope, Bill, you'll forgive me if I got that wrong, Missouri, wrote to us, and he said this: our TTB World Prayer Team is near the top of my everyday prayer list.
All right, Bill.
Yes. I am the designated prayer sergeant at my local Salvation Army Corps. That's great.
Yep.
My responsibilities are to see to the prayer needs of our congregation and other worthy efforts in the world. My job is also my privilege. And I would add an amen and say, my job is also my privilege.
And hopefully, by being a part of the World Prayer Team, we make his job a little easier every day.
That's right. Now, we also have a clip we want to share from our listener testimony line. So let's listen to that.
My name is Charles. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas. I've been listening to Through the Bible Radio for over 25 years. I thank the good Lord for your program. He has helped me immensely to grow in the Lord. I need to become a consistent giver to Through the Bible Radio, and I'm pledging today to do that. I'm a black male, and I love the Lord, and it's very difficult in Little Rock to find a church where you feel like you can be a solid Christian and be a black at the same time. It's very difficult. Thank God for Dr. McGee. Thank God for your program. I listen every day, at least twice a day, and I've learned so much. Thank you so much for your program. God bless you.
Wow, Steve, that's powerful, and it's mm-hmm. personal, and I love that.
Yep.
I love whether it's a letter from India or China
or
right
Arkansas.
Here in the United States. You know, the Through the Bible listeners are grappling with what the Word of God means for their real life. So thank you for sharing so openly, And we also know that lots of our listeners do struggle to find good Bible teaching churches. And so we join you in praying that God will lead you to a church like that.
Absolutely. So why don't we do that? I'll pray right now as we start with Numbers chapters 22 through 24. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather around your word around the world and listen to this broadcast and to be blessed by what you're teaching us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray for listeners who are committed to you and want to be solid Christians involved in a local church that they would be able to find a place where your word is honored and where it is taught correctly. Pray that you would bless our time together and through the Bible as a ministry as a whole. In Jesus' name, amen.
Last time, here in the 22nd chapter, we just got introduced to this man Balaam, one of those strange individuals who walks across the pages of Scripture, but he walks in the shadows, and it's rather hazy to really know this man, and it's difficult to make a true evaluation of him. And we are going to let you do that as we call attention to some salient points in the man's record as God has given it to us here. He was a prophet, well known apparently in that entire land, and he was hired by this man Balak to come and curse the children of Israel, because actually he was a superstitious man, and these people had poured in there to the Jordan River. They were in his land, to tell the truth, for that was Moab, and he wasn't sure he wanted them there. And the fact of the matter is, he wanted them out of that land. And so I read in verse 6, "Come now, therefore, I pray, curse me this people." Now he sent, you remember, messengers down, and they've come now to Balaam with this overture. "For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." Now this man Balaam had quite a reputation, you see. And in verse 7, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak." Now they're bringing their rewards, or the pay, of a diviner, that is, one who's a fortune teller. Actually, one that is satanic in his operation. And they brought a very handsome price to offer to this man, by the way. Now notice Balaam's answer. He said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princess of Moab abode with Balaam. Now, he seems honestly trying to ascertain here the mind of God, and he apparently is in touch with God. And notice, "And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee?" And the very interesting thing is that God did communicate with him. Now, in verse 12, here's God's answer. "God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Now that is categorical, a matter-of-fact answer. No way to be evasive about that. Now notice, Balaam rose up in the morning, said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." Now he seems to be a sincere and honest man of God. And if this were the end of the story, then I'd have to assume that. But notice, this man Balak, he's persistent. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And actually, they brought, you see, a better price. They're offering him more. And notice this man, his answer now. "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Well, they've upped the price, but that doesn't seem to affect this man Balaam. He turns it down. You see, he sounds very pious here. The fact of the matter is, you feel like saying amen, and then you have a second thought. He's too good to be true. And why did he say what he did? Why did he speak of a house filled with silver and gold? Well, because he was covetous. That's the reason. He had his mind set in that direction. Now, notice verse 19, his answer that he gives to these men. He says, "Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me." Uh-oh, what's happening here, friends? Well, it's quite obvious. He already has God's answer. He didn't need to wait that night and get a further answer. God's already told him not to go. But this man's hoping that the Lord will open a crack in the door so he can put his foot in. If he gets his foot in, he's going to go. He has God's answer. He doesn't need any more. It's very interesting. Sometimes those of us that are preachers, we make a great deal of getting a call from God to go to a certain church. Now, I've heard that used many times, and generally it's a bigger church with a larger salary and more attractive offer, and probably the people are more attractive, and it's pretty hard to turn that down. I heard the story of the preacher who came to his wife one day and said, "I've just had a call to the church over in the next town." Now, you know, it's a bigger town, richer town. It's a bigger church, more members, and they're much finer folk over there than they are here. And I've been called to go over there as pastor. Now, says, "I'm going upstairs and pray about it and find out what the Lord's will is." And she said, "Well, I'll go upstairs and pray with you." And he said, "Oh, my, no." Says, "You stay down here and pack." May I say to you, he'd made up his mind, as you can see. And old Balaam's made up his mind also. Now notice, here is something God often does, not only for Balaam, but he does it for many of his servants, and he'll do it for you and me, and it's not good, friends, when he permits it. Notice what God says. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." In other words, God says, "All right, you want to go. And before it's through, you'll go, because they'll up the price again, of course. But the thing is, if you go, you are to say what I want you to say. Be careful of that." You have here what's known as the permissive will of God. He permits us many times to do something when we insist, and it's not his will. It's not his direct will. You remember what was said of the children of Israel. He granted their request, but sent leanness to their souls. And sometimes he grants our request, sends leanness to our souls. Now, God, you see, warned him here that he's to be careful now as he goes. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princess of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. You see, he had God's answer, but God permits him now to go. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and a sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. In other words, even this prophet doesn't have the mind of God at all and has no spiritual discernment, whereas, frankly, this animal did. Now we're told, "But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on his side and a wall on that. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall, crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Angel of the Lord went farther and stood in the narrow way." And this man Balaam wants to go, you see. He's a covetous man. Now we find that the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Well, this is a miracle, of course, and God is using this to get a message through. Some wag has said that it was a miracle in Balaam's day when an ass spoke, and that it's a miracle today when one keeps quiet. And I'm not sure but what that is true. Now, you have here, this is the way of Balaam, the thing that Peter mentioned, you'll recall. And they've gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And this is 2 Peter 2:15 and 16. And this is the way that a great many Christian organizations are measured today by the dollar sign. I'm sure glad that we are not using that, because if we did, we wouldn't mount to very much, that's for sure. But covetousness is the way of this man. But we need to probe here just a little bit deeper into this man's personality. Because notice what Jude says, "Woe unto them, they've gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." You see, he's a covetous man, but notice now, this man is going to use that very subtle thing that's known as rationalization, and he'll do that to explain his motives. You see, he wants to ascribe a worthy motive for his conduct, and I find today in the church a great many Christians that are doing something that's quite questionable, and they come up with some kind of rationalization. And I want you to notice now this scene here. He goes on his way, and he comes to the place of the nation Israel, and he meets this man Balak. Now, notice this man, the king of Moab, Balak, he takes him to the top of a mountain where he can see the camp of Israel below. And fact of the matter is, since he's not satisfied with any of his prophecies, he'll take him to all four sides of the camp, to four different mountains. Now notice the first, here's his first prophecy in verse 7. He took up his parable and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel." Now listen to this. "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed, or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations." Now that's a remarkable prophecy, by the way. In fact, it's one of the remarkable prophecies, and it's the first one concerning these people. "Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." Now, this man wasn't satisfied, you see, with this prophecy at all. So he took him from that mountain, took him over to another one, and gave him another look at the children of Israel as they were camped in the valley. And I read now beginning verse 18 of chapter 23. "And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. And God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought?" Now, you see, this man, Balak, brings him to another place. Instead of cursing Israel, he actually blesses them again and makes it clear that God cannot. Now, you see, what Balaam is doing, he's reasoning and rationalizing that God must condemn Israel. There was evil in the camp. Sin was in evidence. Just read their story as we've been reading it. Believe me, they fail. There was the instance of the brazen serpent. These people confess. They've sinned. And you see, therefore, this man came to the conclusion, well, God's got to judge Israel because of their sin. And the natural man always concludes that God must judge Israel because of their sin, and that God must judge the sinner. And today, I've heard this question many times. How could God call David a man after his own heart? Well, there's a higher righteousness than human righteousness, and it just happens to be the righteousness of Christ. What shall we then say to these things? Paul asked that question in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified, and God should judge a sinner. But he's already judged him in Christ when he comes by faith to Christ. And the world doesn't understand that, and old Balaam didn't understand that. He said, well, if God's going to judge Israel, why shouldn't I get the benefit of the rewards of this king? Balaam thought God must condemn Israel, and therefore he'd be permitted to get a good reward as a result of it. Well, let's probe a little deeper into the life of this man, and you find out that we're told in Revelation 2, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now he does a very subtle thing, and I'm going to have to wait, of course, till next time to see that, because that was the worst thing of all. And that is the thing, of course, is happening in our nation today, and it's happening in our churches today. But I'll save that the next time, because I want to look now at this next prophecy, and it's in the 24th chapter, and we find here that he's taken this man up here to another place, and we read in verse 1 of chapter 24, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Balak lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Now see, that's an amazing thing about this man. The Spirit of God came upon this man, and listen to his prophecy. He took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Now there was sin in the camp, and God dealt with that sin. That was the brazen serpent. God dealt with those people. He judged them. But he's not going to let anyone on the outside bring a charge against them. All this man can do is to bless them and to praise them. And Satan can't bring a charge against God's elect. Who shall? That's Paul's question. If God be for us, who can be against us? What are we going to say to these things? Well, friends, I haven't anything to say. I just say hallelujah, that's all. Because it's God that justified. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, nobody can if God's already declared them righteous, and that's what he's done. This is a marvelous prophecy, by the way. Now, the fourth prophecy is over here in the 24th chapter, verse 17. And this is prophecy that's good for Christmas time. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Here again is a remarkable prophecy.
Interesting that Balaam was a complex guy. Well, if you'd like to know more about him, go read or download Dr. McGee's booklet, Balaam, A Prophet for Profit. You'll find it in the free e-booklet section of ttb.org. Dr. McGee also wrote about Balaam in his book, More Real Characters. which is a really interesting collection of studies on unique people in the Bible. Along with Balaam, it includes Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Amos, the country preacher, and Jonah, dead or alive. You can order this book in the online store at ttb.org or give us a call at 1-800-652-4253. Now, in our study tomorrow, Dr. McGee has some really insightful instruction about how to deal with conflict within a body, like in a church or a team or a family. Our text will be Numbers chapters 24 through 26. I'm going to read ahead. Why don't you join me? I'm Steve Schwetz. See you then.
Jesus made it all. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.